Thank you, Brother Josh. Take your Bible, if you would, please, Psalm 39. Tonight, this 39th Psalm, if you would. Psalm 39. Good to see everybody back out. Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. On Sunday night. Psalm 39. Verse 4. Psalm 39 and verse 4. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, truly, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I've preached on the 39th Psalm several times over the years and portions out of it, and then we also covered it when I preached through the Psalms as a series. And so I don't know that there's anything new I can add to what we haven't already seen in several messages, but just felt impressed to come here. I know we just started 1 Thessalonians, but just felt impressed about this passage tonight. We're going to talk about the brevity of life. And so let me say this. I said this about a message I preached some time ago. I just felt out of the blue impressed about this and this passage on the brevity of life. And I remember hearing stories of a preacher, you know, who impressed to preach on a certain passage. And then the Lord took him home that week and everybody said he must have known. He must have known. So if I become an illustration of the brevity of life this week, I want you to realize I didn't have a clue. So don't assign to me great wisdom. I will be as surprised as you are when I find myself in glory. All right. So we're going to talk about the account of the days of our lives. The account of the days of our lives. Let's pray. Brother Tim Caudill, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Father, we do thank you for this opportunity once again to be in your house, to be around your word. I pray you help our minds to be attentive to the word of God as it's preached to us tonight. And I do ask that you would help us as we ask these things in your son's holy, precious, and wonderful name.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing tonight. There's no exact historical information given to us about this psalm. As you're aware, many of the psalms in the superscription below the psalm number sometimes gives us some history. And there are times when we can look in the psalm itself and draw out some historical information and find out the background of the psalm or what brought the psalm forth. And so there's no superscription that tells us anything, and there's no real historical information in the psalm itself that give us any indication as far as its background is concerned. Some people have taken guesses. Some people believe this took place after Absalom, which had David considering the brevity of life. I think there's probably a good argument to be made that Psalm 39 is a continuation of his thought in Psalm 38. In Psalm 38, he was dealing with the conviction of God and dealing with how God was under the weight of the conviction of God. And in Psalm 39, he kind of continues that thought. And so that's possible too, but the reality is we just don't know what the historical background is. I'm big on context and background, but we don't need it in this case to understand the truth that we're going to look at tonight, because the truth is pretty self-evident. David is pondering the truth of the brevity of life. And that's a subject or truth that lost man and worldly people don't like to talk about,
right.
Even though they're forced to face it from time to time. It's not really something that they enjoy talking about. They certainly don't like to ponder it. And that's a large part of where our culture or man or a large part of man's obsession with amusement and things that surround amusement. There's nothing wrong with fun as long as it doesn't distract us from important truths in life, such as the brevity of life. One of the most important truths of life is how short life is. And so as long as it doesn't distract us from that, the word muse and amusement, the word muse means to think or to be thinking. The A as in amusement negates the word, which means that we're talking about not thinking, or to not think, and that's why we're involved in amusement, not to think. You know, we don't go to an amusement park so that we can ponder the weighty things of life. We don't go to the fair and ride on a ride, although if you're going to ride on a ride that's put together every week by some guy who's probably on probation, you should consider the brevity of life, all right? But we don't go there to think about the brevity of life or to consider the brevity of life. We go there to be amused, to not think. You know, it's to take our minds off the serious issues. Again, one of them being the frailty of life and the shortness of life. Now, we understand tonight, as a child of God, and I trust that we're saved tonight, and if you're not saved, you ought to get saved, because life is short. But as a child of God, we don't have to fear death.
Amen.
We don't have to fear that, because we know where our home is. We know we're going to go home and be with the Lord, and so we don't have to fear life. But we're always to be aware of the fact that we have a limited number of days, that our days are limited. Our time here on earth is limited. And certainly in comparison to eternity, this life is nothing in comparison to eternity. But we do have only a limited number of days here. And that's what David is going to focus on in the two verses, especially verse 4 and 5, where he begins to discuss this thing of the brevity of life. So the first thing I want you to notice with me tonight in verse 4 is that David's prayer here, or David's psalm, begins with a request that God might help him to know the measure of his days. He says in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. He says, I want to understand the measure of my days. The word measure would imply that our days have measure. It would imply the idea that it's a number, the number of days of our lives, or a number that can be quantified. It's a number that can be sized. It's a number that can be measured. It's a number that can be counted. And so we understand that our days, and it's each of us, it's different, isn't it? And so each of us have a measurable number of days, a number of days that can be counted, a number of days that can be quantified. Now, from where we sit, sitting here tonight on this earth and sitting here in this auditorium tonight, we can't know that number. And sitting here tonight, we can't measure it. We can't quantify the number of our days. We don't have the ability to do that from where we are. Only God in heaven knows. And we understand tonight that God in heaven knows the measure. He knows the number. He knows the length. He knows the number that we possess. Look in Job chapter 14, if you will. Job 14. Our days apparently can be measured. There is a limit, a quantity to them. We can't know that, to be quite frank. I don't know that I would want to know that. But God, from where he sits, knows that number. Job chapter 14, notice if you would, in verse 5, says this, seeing his days, he's speaking here of man, sinful man in particular in verse 4, but in verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, speaking of God. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And so God has established for each of us a number of days, and God is aware of that number, though we're not. God is on the throne, and God is the one who creates life, and he's the one who gives life. And so as a result of that, God does know the number of our days. And this is a theme in Job. If you look down to verse 14 of the same chapter, it says in chapter 14, verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? It says, the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. And he realizes that he has an appointed time, an appointed number of days, an appointed measure, if you will, of days. Look back over in Job chapter 7. Job 7. Again, this is a thought that the book of Job is familiar with, that we have a measured number of days. And in Job chapter 7, look what it says. This will be an encouragement to you. Look in verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? He says our days on earth are like the days of a hireling. A hireling is what we might refer to as a day worker. It was a man who worked for an employer on a daily basis. And so he would go into work today. He would know until quitting time whether he was going to work tomorrow or not. He wouldn't know tomorrow if he was going to have a job. And so he says, our days on earth are limited. And he says, and not only that, we can't measure them, Brother Daniel. We can't know them. He says, we live life like a hireling. If I make it to tonight, if I don't become that illustration of the brevity of life, and this time tomorrow you all are going, well, he must have known. If that doesn't happen and I go to bed tonight, I have no idea if I'm going to have life tomorrow. I'm like a hireling, living one day to the next, because I have no idea of the measure of my days. And so life is brief, and there is a measure of our days, and we don't know what that measure is. Now, the word measure is connected to the word portion. They are much the same word. The number of our days are measured out to us. And what that means is that God has given to each of us a portion. Each of us have a portion of days. In Exodus chapter 16, just turn there. Exodus 16, look over there if you will. It's not that important, but we'll go there and look. Exodus 16. This might be the last chance we all have to go to Exodus 16. Look in Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Exodus 16 is where they're dealing with the flesh that God gave them, the manna. And it says in Exodus 16, they were each to gather up an omer. And it says in verse 16 of 16, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. So they gathered up all of this manna. They were only supposed to have an omer's worth. We don't care what an omer was, but it was only to have an omer's worth. And so some gathered a bunch and some gathered less, but then they meted it out. They measured it in an omer. They measured it in a measuring cup, if you will, that was an omer's worth. And so they measured it out. They took their portion, measured out their portion, which was an omer's worth. That's the same idea as the word measure in our psalm tonight. God has measured out to us. God has poured out to us, measured out to us a portion of life, a portion of days. Look over in Luke chapter 6. You see it used in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6. The number of my days are measured out to me, given to me as a portion by the providence and the grace of Almighty God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we see it used this way again. Exodus 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall man give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured again unto you. Just want you to see the idea that the word measure, when he talks about measure our days, the word measure means to pour out or to portion unto us. So God has proportioned to us or portioned to each of us life. If you're alive tonight, God has portioned to you life. I don't know how much he's given you, but he's given you enough to get you here tonight. And so you have a portion of life. God is the one who measures out, who portions out our days. So he's given to us each a portion. Now, notice in verse 5 of our psalm, Psalm 39, verse 5. David says this in verse 5. He says, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. He says, and mine age is nothing with thee. What's the verse I'm looking for here? Verse 4, I'm sorry. He says, thou hast made me to know my days. He says, you have made me to know, to understand my days. Now, we certainly understand tonight that God is the one who made life, and God is the one who gives us life. Right. Without God, we have no life. We're not evolutionists tonight. God is the maker of life, and God is the giver of life. But the word made my days means that God has given me, or that God has delivered unto us our days. Our days have been portioned to us, and it's God who has portioned them. He is the one who has made our days, delivered unto us certain days. And so the phrase in 39:5 literally means that God has delivered unto each of us individually our portion of days. We've each received our own personal allotment of days. God doesn't proportion to each of us equally, but he in his providence has poured out to us, has portioned to us our allotment of life. We each have an allotment of life. And God is the one who has given us that allotment of life. Think about it this way. It's as if on the day that each of us were born, God poured out of the pitcher of life a portion of days. It's like on the day that I was born, God poured out a portion and said, this is his portion. On the day that Brother Tim was born, it's as if God poured out of the pitcher of life, if you will. If you want to wax poetic, he poured out of the pitcher of life a portion of days to Brother Tim, and to each of us he poured out this portion. Some of us got more. Some of us got less. But God is the one who poured it out. Some only got a few moments. Some only got a few hours. Some got a couple of days. Some got many years. But God has poured out that portion unto us. Are you with me? God is the one who pours it out. It's by the foreknowledge of God and by the wisdom of God that days are measured. God is the one who measures days. I don't understand why God measures days the way that he does. I have no idea why God might allow some little babies to only live a matter of hours and why God lets some wicked, sinful people live for years. I have no idea why God allows such things. I don't know. That's the foreknowledge of God, and we just have to trust the wisdom of God and the foreknowledge of God as he measures out days. And can I tell you this tonight? It's useless. It's an utterly useless exercise to try to understand or even to seek out how God determines such things. It'll do nothing but discourage you and frustrate you to try to figure out why God does certain things and why God measures days the way that he does. I know how I would measure days. I would not suffer a murderer to live. And I would let little innocent babies live a full life. But I'm not God. God portions out days as he sees fit. And it's useless on our part to try to understand the foreknowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the providence of God and the way that he measures out days. We shouldn't be surprised when one of our loved ones runs out of days. Does that make sense to us? My wife or my children or my grandchildren, if their days run out before mine do, I'll be sad and sorrowful and I will miss them. But I'm going to do my best never to get bitter at God, because I understand that God proportioned to each of us a number of days. Amen. And it's not my affair to try to understand why God didn't let my child have more days than me, or my grandchild or my wife have more days than me. That's owns to the knowledge and the foreknowledge of God. Right. Oh, come on. Amen. Amen. And we're to trust that, because we don't understand how God does these things. We have to trust by faith. Yes. Come on. Amen. This is a real situation involving faith. Right. We have to trust by faith that God, who gives life, never seeks to hurt us.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And has a plan for our life, and that he has a plan for the life of our children or grandchildren or those we love. He has a plan for that life, whether that plan involved a portion of only hours or whether that plan involved a portion of years. No matter what size the portion, God had a plan. And he poured it out according to his foreknowledge. Come on, you tracking with me?
Amen.
He poured it out according to his foreknowledge, that number of years. I hope that everyone I love has more years than me. But I don't know that that will happen. I just don't know. He pours out the hours to some and many years to others. And it's useless to try to think about, or it's especially useless to get bitter over the number of hours that God portions to someone we love or care about. It's also useless to get bitter about the hours that God proportions to us. God has given me about 62 years worth of years or of life or of time. I don't know why God did that. I don't know why God didn't pour me out 16 or 12 or 15 or 40. I don't have any idea. I don't know if I have how many hours I've got ahead of me yet. I just don't have any idea. And I don't have any idea, again, how many of those around me have. And it's useless to get bitter or upset or to argue with God about the number of hours he's proportioned to me.
Right.
We're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but oftentimes think about Hezekiah. As a matter of fact, I preached a whole message on this in Hezekiah 38. One of the biggest mistakes that Hezekiah made in his entire life was to argue with God about the number of days that God had proportioned to him. Because if you know about Hezekiah's life, he lived a great life, had a tremendous testimony, and he came near the end of his life, and he pleaded with God and got bitter with God and argued with God and begged God to add more days to his life. And God poured out to him another 15 years, didn't he? And if you know Hezekiah's life, you know it was the worst 15 years of his life. And he nearly ruined his testimony and destroyed everything good that he did. God knows what he's doing when he pours out the number of our years. And God has a reason for it, and he proportions as each man as God sees fit. It's not for us to question God's providence concerning the number of our days or the number of the days of our loved ones. It's only our place to trust God by faith. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
It's just our job to trust God by faith. Now, the point is this, if you haven't gotten it yet, and that is that we possess only a limited number of days. We just have a few. We just have a limited number. So David's prayer begins with the request that God would never let him forget that truth, that God would never allow him to forget that his days are limited. And what David is praying for is, he says, God, make me to know the number of my days. Now, in verse 4, David's not asking God to show him how many days God's poured out for him. He's not asking him to know how many days he's had. That's not what he's asking for. We have no right to ask God for such a thing, because God nowhere promises that he'll ever let us know such a thing. So we don't have any right to ask that. And that's not what David's asking for. David's request was that God would never, now listen, that God would never allow him to forget that his days are not limitless. David is praying, Lord, let me never forget that my days are limitless. And if this psalm is indeed attached to 38, and in 38, David here is dealing with the repercussions of Bathsheba, and he's been under tremendous conviction, and we all know tonight, or most of us do, if not, you can read it later, of the mess that David made in his life over that moment of lust, and he made a mess out of his life, and he forgot for just a moment that life was limitless, was not limitless. And so when we get into 39, he says, God, don't ever let me forget again that my days are not without limit, that I don't have a limitless number of days. And so he asked God to never let him forget that his days are not limitless, to never forget that he will not always have tomorrow, that his portion of days will someday run out, that one day he will use the last day that God has portioned to him. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, that's a frightening thought. That God has poured out to us a portion of our days. We don't know what that portion is, but I do know this much. One day, for the new house, I will use my last day that God has poured out to me. David's prayer was, don't ever let me forget that. Amen. That one day I will use my last day. We too, one day, will use our last day. It may be that some of us will see our loved ones use their last day. But one of these days, that last day will come. To never forget that we will not always have tomorrow, and that our portion will one day run out. Are you encouraged so far? Okay. If we could learn this lesson, if we could get a hold of that single thought, even as a child of God, if we could get a hold of that thought, what a difference it would make in our lives. Now, we all give head knowledge to that. Listen, if I were to ask tonight, how many of you think that you could die tomorrow? If you got any sense at all, every hand in here would go up. Because we all know we could die tomorrow. We just don't all think we're going to die tomorrow. It's because we live above this concept that we don't have a limitless number of days. And we're not aware of the fact that my portion could run out tomorrow. We don't think that way. But if we could remember that and think about that, that God has poured out to Brother Peliquin, just a limited number of days, and tomorrow might be the last of his, man, that would change us, wouldn't it? Right. It would revolutionize the way we think. That every day, now listen, that every day you use up another day of life from a limited supply. God only poured you out so many, and every day you use another one up from a limited supply. It's a supply of days that you can't add to. It's a supply of days that we can't withdraw from. We can only withdraw from. You can't add to it. You can only what? Withdraw. That's all you can do. You can only take them out. You can't put them in. Well, you say, well, I exercise and I take vitamins and I take zinc and vitamin D and I'm on keto and Weight Watchers and I'm a vegetarian because I don't understand that God gave me dog teeth for a reason, right? And so I'm a vegetarian. And God will probably take some of your days out because all you ate in life was broccoli, all right? And we think, I'll do all of this stuff and I'll add to my days. God says, no.
That's right.
He says, I only poured in so many. Now, how well we take care of ourselves would certainly have to do with how we enjoy the days we have.
Amen.
But you're not going to add to your days. Man talks about, well, if you do all this stuff, you'll lengthen your life. No, you won't.
Right. That's right.
Because God only poured out to every person a portion. How we take care of this body will affect how we enjoy that portion, but we don't add to our portion. So eat meat. Amen. And don't be a ridiculous vegetarian, all right? You know, when we think about this truth, and I think I used this illustration some time ago as well, because it just works well for me. Anyway, it helps me get my mind around it, that we have a limited number of days. We relate better to money than we do life. So think about this way. Let's pretend tonight that when you were born, you were given a checkbook. On the day that you were born, you were given a checkbook, and in that account was an unknown amount of money. Are you with me so far? Oh, come on, this is good. I'm giving you money, all right? When you were born, you were given a checkbook, and in that checkbook was an unknown amount of money. And here's what you were told. You were told that you would never be able to work or gain money elsewhere, that all you had is this checkbook, and you could only live on what was in the checkbook. But you were also told you could... But you were never told how much was in it. Neither you nor anyone else could ever make a deposit. So all you have is this unknown amount of money in a checkbook. That's all you got. You with me? You're born, you're given this checkbook with this unknown amount of money. That's the only money you will ever have, and you can never add to it. I wonder, you know, when you think about that, don't you think that every time you wrote a check, that you would all, it would always be in your mind, I wonder if I'll have enough. Oh, come on, you with me?
Yeah.
Don't you think every time you wrote a check, you think, I wonder if I'm going to have enough. I wonder if I'll have enough to buy food tonight. I wonder if I'll have enough to pay my bills tomorrow. I wonder if I'll have enough to buy my child's medicine. I wonder if I'm going to have enough, because I have no idea what's in it. I can't deposit anything into it, and all I'm doing is withdrawing from it. I wonder if I have enough. I wonder if I'll have enough. You know, that would it would revolutionize our life if we had the same outlook toward life, don't you think? Because it really is no different. Indeed, we have an account from which we withdraw every day.
Right.
And we can't add to it, and we have no clue what's in it.
Right.
It's no different than the checkbook. It's the exact same way. We can never make a deposit. We have no idea how much is left. How much do you think it would change our life if we faced everyday life with that same thought? That all I have is an account in which I have a limited number of days. I have no idea how much is in there. I can't deposit anything, but every single second, come on, every breath I'm withdrawing out of that account. Wouldn't it be amazing if we thought about life that way? I wonder if I have enough life to spend another moment with my kids. I wonder if I have enough life to spend another day with my wife or my husband. I wonder if I have enough life left to spend a few more hours with the person that I love. I wonder if I have enough life left to spend another moment telling my parents how much I appreciate them, or if they have enough life left for that. I wonder if I have another moment to read God's word. I wonder if I have another moment to serve Him. I wonder if I have another moment to be in God's house with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I wonder if I have enough time left in my portion to tell someone I care about Christ. I wonder if I have enough in my account to have another chance to be saved, if you're not saved tonight. That would completely change our thinking, don't you think? Because listen, it's not just an illustration, it's reality.
That's right. Amen.
You've only got so many days in your checkbook. You don't know how many are in there. And every day you write another check. Every moment you write another check, another withdrawal, and no idea what's left in there. And it should cross our minds every once in a while. I wonder if I have enough. I wonder if I have enough. Because one day we won't. Because we'll make, one of these days, we're going to make our last withdrawal. What a difference it makes in our priorities and our focus and our intensity in serving God if we got up every day and wondered if we have enough hours left. You ought to get up in the morning and ask yourself, I wonder if I got enough left in the account to get through today. I better tell people I love them, because I may not have enough time left in my account, enough days left in my hour. Now, David's prayer was not that God would show him the size or the measure of his portion, but that God would never let him forget that his supply is not limitless, and that he might be reminded every day. And that should some way be our prayer.
Right.
Don't you think? God, remind me every day. This might be the last day that I have for my grandchildren. I may not have enough time left in my allotment to do so many things. And we should think about that. Should make life precious. It should make the way we use time important. We waste so much time, don't we? On meaningless things. I understand there's stuff we got to do, all right? But I also understand that sometimes we waste so much time. Listen, you know this illustration, this story. If you go to the doctor tomorrow, and I hope this doesn't happen to you, but you do only have a limited number of days. If you go to the doctor tomorrow and the doctor gives you the long face and says, I'm sorry, but you only got 30 days. That's probably about all you got is 30 days to live. You know what you would do? You'd leave out of there weeping. And here's what you'd start thinking. You start thinking, I got to get my act together. I've got to get my life together. I'm getting ready to leave this life. I've only got 30 days left in my portion, if the doctor's right. And we would start thinking about all the important stuff we have to do and all the people we care about and all the people we needed to witness to and all the people we want to tell that we love them before we go and all the things we wanted to say to people and all the people that we should seek forgiveness from. Amen? We would start thinking about those things. And rightly so.
Right.
If you knew the portion of time you have. But what we sometimes forget is that our situation is even worse. Because we have no idea how many we have left. We don't know if we have 30 left, Brother Hubbard.
Right.
We have no idea. At least if the doctor tells me I got 30, he doesn't know either the portion of my days. But I think I got 30 left. But the truth is, we don't know. Isn't it something how if someone told us we only had 30 days left, how serious we'd get about life, how serious we'd get about the people we love, how serious we would be about telling people we need to tell about Christ? Isn't it amazing how we would start thinking, I should have done this for God, I should have done more, I should have served more, I should have done this, I should have told this person. All that stuff would start flooding into our mind when we knew we only had 30 days left, when the reality is we're living with an unknown portion of days. And the same thoughts should be a part of our thought process. And this is what David's praying for, that God would always help him remember that. Someone wrote this. Someone said, time is the deposit each one of us have in the bank of life, put there by the grace of God, yet no one knows the balance of his own account.
Right.
And we ought to live every day in that reality. You with me? Now I want you to notice this quickly. We'll be done. Under this request, David asked God to remind him of the brevity of life, but he also asked him in relationship to that, he asked him three specific things, and we'll be done. He asked for three specific things. First, he asked this, that God would help him remember that however many hours or years, however many those days are, he says, he asked God to help him remember that however many days those are, that they are all no more than a handbreadth. And he says in verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. A handbreadth in your Bible, we're aware of cubits and spans and other means of measurement in our Bible. The handbreadth was considered one of the smallest of measurements. You know what a handbreadth is? Okay. And so he says our whole life is but a handbreadth. If you hold your four fingers up. Okay, that's a handbreadth. All right, just want to make sure you're awake. Hi. He says, remember, the measure of my days is but a handbreadth. Again, a handbreadth is considered the smallest of Hebrew measurements. If you bought a handbreadth of something, you didn't get very much.
Right.
Ladies, if you're going to make something, if you're going to make a dress or make a blanket or a quilt or something, if all you had was a handbreadth of material to work with, you wouldn't be making much. Fellas, if you were going to build something and all you had on hand was a handbreadth of wood, you're not going to make much with a handbreadth of wood. It's very small. Here's the encouraging word. God says we all have but a handbreadth of life. We have measured out to each of us a portion of life, and no matter how much that portion is, the Bible says it is but a handbreadth. David asked God to remind him that not only are the days of his life limited in supply, but in reality, that supply is not very big. It's not very big. My wife's hand's a lot smaller than mine. Thankfully, because that would look weird. But her hands are a lot smaller than mine. I don't have my wedding ring on tonight. I do some wood turning and stuff, and I take it off so I don't lose a finger, and then sometimes I forget to put it back on. But her ring, if I had mine on, her ring will go all the way through my ring. She can just drop it and it just goes right through because her hands are different size. Her hand breadth is smaller than mine. And all of our hand breadths are different.
Right.
Amen? But no matter how wide our hand breadth is, it's not very big. We look around, you know, we see the lives of others, such as our parents and our grandparents, and we assume that our lives are going to be that long. But all our lives are short. They're all short. You know, if you were to take, we're not all going to do it because we don't have time for that, plus it get very crowded. If you think about the length of this auditorium, if you went back to that back wall back there where that scary usher guy is standing, if you went back there and took your hand and you laid it down against the wall, right up against the wall on that floor, and then you looked down that floor, your hand breadth would not look very big and relative to the floor in this auditorium. Does that make sense? If we were going here to Truman Lake, Brother Sam, and you were to lay your hand down there on the edge of the water, your hand breadth wouldn't look very big in comparison to the size of Truman Lake. It would look like a very small thing. Absolutely, it would. That's what he says in verse 5. Think about this in comparison to God who inhabits eternity.
Right.
And he says in verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. You understand that our life is but a handbreadth and how small that is in comparison to eternity and the eternal God.
Right.
How small this life is in comparison to what lies ahead of us. You know, it says that God is the one who inhabits eternity. God is eternal. Imagine yourself, if you would, in eternity, and here's God, who is the eternal God, stretching back millions and millions and millions of years to time eternal, and then lay your four fingers down on the edge of that. It would be as nothing. As absolutely nothing. Because he is the eternal one, the eternal God. If God has portioned a full, listen, if God has portioned a full life of 70 years, some of us live longer, some live shorter, but the Bible seems to indicate that 70 years is man's average. If God has portioned you a full 70 years to you, listen, if God has proportioned a full 70 years to you, here's how long you have to serve him. Here's how long you have to get saved. A hand breadth. If you hold up four fingers, what most of us spend our limited days on or focused on, what is that in comparison to eternity? It's absolutely nothing, isn't it? If you hold up four fingers and think about it, that's pretty short compared to what lies ahead. We should be wise in what we use this on because we have an infinite eternity ahead of us. And that's what God's concerned about, isn't it? Is that eternity. You know why I think God uses a handbreadth? God could use something else. I mean, in comparison to eternity, our life is like a mustard seed. So God can use you a lot of things. And I can't prove this to you tonight, but I think it's right. I think the reason God uses the handbreadth is so that every time you and I work, anytime we write anything, anytime we hold anything, anytime we reach for anything, every time we grasp anything, we're constantly reminded of just how short this life is.
Right.
Which means what I'm grabbing a hold of, what I'm working for, what I'm doing with my hands, I should always keep in mind, Brother Daniel, how frail this life is. So I should use that time wisely. I don't know that that's true, but I think when we get to heaven, God will say, you were right. So David says, help me to know that my life is but a hand's breadth. Then secondly, David asked God to never let him forget that the number of his days will one day end. He says, Lord, help me to know that you're the one who portions out my days, and when you pour those days out, that no matter how many you give me, they are but a portion. You understand that there was a day when you were born. If you were born, say amen. All right. So there was a day when you were born, and one of these days you'll use your last day. And the gap between these two points is about that big. But a handbreadth. Some of you understand that more than others because you've already poured out a lot of days. And you understand how small that gap can be, how small it feels. Some of you are older than I am, and I know how small mine feels. And some of you can say, you know, it just seemed like yesterday I was what? I was a little girl, or I was a young guy, or I was this, or I was that. And it's gone by so quick because a handbreadth's not very big. So he says, help me to understand that. But then secondly, David asked God to never let him forget that the number of our days will one day end, as he says in verse 4. Make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is. One day, there won't be anything left to draw out of. I'm hoping that the Lord comes back before I draw out my last. I hope in my last day will be when Jesus comes back. But I don't know if that's the case or not, but one day we'll be left, there won't be anything left to draw out. 2 Samuel 14:14 says this, for we must needs die, and there is water spill on the ground which cannot be gathered up. We already read Job 14, where it says, see, his days are determined, and the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, he cannot pass. So one of these days, we'll use our last one. Since the length of our life is but a handbreadth, that day will be upon us before we know what happened. It goes by, that's all we ever hear about, isn't it, from people who are a little bit older. Where did it all go? How'd it go by so fast? It seems like I was just a young'un, and here I am, an older one. I'm confident, I said this before, I think, I'm confident you're never really old, because no matter how old you are, there's always somebody going, you don't know what old is, all right? No matter where you go. My mom was, you know, she's in her mid to upper 80s, and she's going, you don't know what old is. I said, yeah, Mom, but there's some guy here, 97, going, she, you don't know what old is. But we knew to this much, it goes by in a hurry, and one day it's going to end. Absolutely it is. The length of our life is about a handbreadth, and that day will be upon us before we know what happened. You know what that means? That means you better love your family today.
Right.
You better tell the one you love that you love them today. You better get those kids in church today.
Right.
You better forgive that person or say you're sorry today. You better say goodbye and I love you every time you leave the house every day.
That's right.
Because one day we'll take out the last day. More than anything, if you haven't done so, then you better hear what 2 Corinthians says. Look in 2 Corinthians 6. We're almost done with this encouraging message. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It doesn't have to be a discouraging message. It's a thought that needs to be constant in our mind. But if you're saved tonight, it doesn't have to be a worrisome message.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the beauty of being saved.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're not saved, you ought to think about this in verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee, and in time accepted, in the day of salvation I have secured thee, I have called thee, have drawn thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why is now the day of salvation? Because you only have so many in the account. And you better get saved before you draw the last day out. And here's the scary thing. You don't know when that last day is. Which is why you need to be saved today. Today is always the day of salvation. Because you may not have tomorrow in the account. So today is the day to be saved. So important we understand that one day it'll be our last day. And then lastly, David prayed that God would help him daily to remember how frail life is. He says in verse 4 of Psalm 39... how frail it is. Behold, help me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, we're born with a limited number of days portioned to us. One of those days will be my last day, one of these days. And between those two points in life, there's but a handbreadth. And David now asks God to help him never forget how easy it is to waste or mess up that small portion. We've only got a limited portion. It's very small. We don't know when the last one will be and how easy it is to mess up that portion. Hezekiah ran into that. How easy it is, how frail that portion is that God's allotted to us in between those two points in our life. You know, one of the major reasons for the rebellion of Absalom was David's own sin, wasn't it? He committed that relationship with Bathsheba, had a illicit relationship with her. And as a result, he nearly ruined his life. He nearly ruined his opportunity of the will of God in his life because of a foolish choice that was driven by a moment of lust. And nearly destroyed that handbreadth of time that he had. Now, he got it right, but he would never fully recover. He almost destroyed that handbreadth of life because of one foolish, lustful act in his life. Nearly ruined it. He forgot how frail things can be. You know, David asked God to never let him forget that life is so short and uncertain that it's so easy to ruin that little bit that we have. You know, going back to our bank illustration, and I'll be done. You know, going back to our bank illustration we were talking about in our checkbook. If you didn't know how much was in your account, every time you drew something out, you were left wondering, do I have enough left? Wouldn't it cause you to think really hard about what you spent it on?
Yeah.
I've only got so many days in the account. I've only got so much days in this fictitious checkbook we got. If that's all you had no idea how much money was in it, and you only had a limited amount, I would think you would think really hard, do I really need that big screen TV? Do I really need another video game? Do I really need whatever you ladies buy? Do I really need this or do I really need that? We would think about that, wouldn't we? Because I've only got so much, and it's got to last me, and I don't know how much is left in there. I would think we would be pretty serious about what we spend it on. Isn't it sad that we would think that way about money, but we don't think that way about our life? We've only got so many days. We don't know how much is in there. And every day, I know this much, every time I take a breath, I'm drawn out of the account. And I've only got so many left. I probably ought to think about how I'm spending it. Don't you think? I better make sure I'm not wasting it. Nothing wrong with having fun, but I better make sure I don't blow it all on fun. I better make sure I use it for something meaningful. You probably wouldn't run out and just start blowing money in this bank account scenario we had, or everything you wanted, as if that was all you have. And again, our lives the same. We need to realize that life is short, and that a day or an hour is nothing but a span of time that no one is wealthy enough to waste. That sounds kind of poetical, and I made that up. Somebody else may have said it. I may have read it and forgot where I read it at, but I think I made it up. Nobody here tonight is so wealthy in minutes and hours and days that we have any to waste. Amen?
Amen.
If I mess up, I can't get more. I can't make it stretch. You know, the word measure in verse 4 was sometimes used of material. It was used to measure material in the making of a garment. You know, if I knew it was all that I had, if I knew this piece of material was all that I had, I hope you man out, if I knew this little bit of wood was all that I had and I had to build something and that's all I had, I'd be very careful about how I cut it. I'd be very careful about how I used it. I'd be very careful how I measured it to make sure I had enough to complete what I wanted to accomplish. The same thing's true of life, isn't it? Listen, future leaders and younger adults, I know it seems like you're going to live forever, like your portion is full. Because in our youth, we always think, I got a whole barrel full of days. Because obviously God has portioned out a lot to me. But that's not true at all, is it?
Right.
If you're young tonight, your days are as proportioned as mine are. And I don't know how much is in mine, and you don't know how much is in yours. And the foolishness of youth is to somehow think that you have an unlimited portion in it. Because you're young, it means that you have many more days to use. But the truth is, we have no idea. I hope it's true, but we don't know. The truth is that you have no idea the size of your portion, and your lives are not long enough. Listen, young people, your lives are not long enough to experiment with sin. Your lives are not long enough to experiment with this world or to toy around with sin and risk ruining what time you have. It's not worth it. The days are too precious. Too precious. None of us have time to waste because, again, we draw out of our account. We ought to draw out wisely. Let me give you one more quote, and we'll summarize this, and we'll use what little bit of time we have left to go home. Someone said this, no one has any more guarantee of time or hours in a day than you have. It's the discipline and stewardship of your time that's important. The management of time is the management of life itself, because we only have so much time. Notice David's conclusion in verse 6. When he says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. He's talking about the world now, the worldly man who's not wise about this. He says, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up what? Riches. And knoweth not who shall gather them. He says he uses his handbreadth to gather into him the stuff of this world. And guess what? He runs out of days and has no idea who's going to use them. Because he ran out of time. And he spent it on his handbreadth on life. But look what he says in verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? He says, my hope is in thee. What am I going to spend my days on? What is the hope of my days for? He says, I'm going to trust thee and spend my days on thee and for thee. Life is a precious thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Man by the name of Fulton Sheen in the 1800s, one more quote because I like this one. He says this, he says, every moment comes to us pregnant with a divine purpose. Time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with it as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain unchanged forever what you made of it. That's a thought, isn't it? Time is so precious. I like the way he words that. I wish I had thought of that. He says, time is so precious, it's so valuable that God just gives it to us a second at a time. And once I use that second, it heads out into an eternity with no ability to change it. And what I made of it is what I made of it. What I used it for is what I used it for. Listen tonight, your days are not limitless. You and I have had portioned to us by God an amount we don't know. I'm thankful for life. And God has portioned us an amount that we don't know. However much he's given us, it will seem to be but a handbreadth one of these days.
Right.
I'll guarantee when you use up your last day, you're going to look back, if you have the opportunity to look back, you're going to look back and go, man, it just seemed but a handbreadth. What happened to it? Where did it go to? Never forget that one day between the beginning and the ending is frail. Every second we use is valuable. So we need to draw out of our account wisely. If you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved, and you need to get saved today.
Right.
Because you don't know if you have another day in your account. You say you're trying to scare us? Yes. You have no idea how many. That's scary.
Amen.
If you die without Christ, you're going to split hell wide open.
Right. Yeah.
And you have no idea if you're going to be here next Sunday to get saved, or if you're going to have another day to think about it, or another day to analyze it, or another day to figure it out. If you're not saved, you need to get saved, friend. Because today is the day of salvation, because it's the only day you got. For sure. And so if you're not saved tonight, you ought to get saved. Say amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Should get saved. And listen, live, those of us who are saved, we ought to live for the endless span of eternity and not just for the handbreadth of this life. We shouldn't use this handbreadth. Listen, I like stuff. I got stuff. I got more stuff than I need. Most Americans got more stuff than they need. That's why the storage shed business is so big, because we got more junk than what we need. And I like having some stuff. I try to just have useful stuff, because everything I got obviously is useful, or I wouldn't have it. And so I like stuff, and I've got that. But I shouldn't spend my handbreadth on stuff. I don't want to be like that guy in the psalm that we just read. He spent his days gathering up stuff. And guess what? He ran out of time. He wasn't right with God. And guess whose stuff it is now? It's sitting in some garage sale somewhere. Somebody else's stuff. For what? We ought to live for him, don't you think?
Amen.
I'm not trying to be discouraged tonight. If you're saved, you don't have to fear death. Heaven's our home. And you know what? If my account runs out tonight, that's okay. Because you know what? I'll be absent from this body and present with my Lord. But I don't want to forget to use what days I have left and draw out of my account in a way that pleases him. Because that's really what matters, isn't it? When one day I stand before him, Brother Enoch, and I don't know what about you, but I want to hear, good job on the days that I gave you. I poured out time to you second by second, and you use it wisely. I can't say tonight that he's going to be able to say that about every hour I've had, because I've wasted my share. But I want from this day forward to use them as best I can in a way that pleases him. Thank God for your life, for the hours that he's poured out to you. Use them wisely. Because no matter how many you got, they're only about that long. One of these days, they're going to be gone. And that's okay, because if you're saved, you'll be in heaven.
Right.
But I want to stand before him and to be able to give a proper account of how I used the life that he poured out to me. If you're not saved tonight, you ought to get saved.
Amen.
If you are saved, you better use those days in a way that's pleasing to him. Why don't you stand with me, if you will.